The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Jake Brown back at you on Sports Talk 1240 for the first time in 2016. And a guest co-host in the building. We got a lot to get into. It's Greg Larnard, my colleague, my roommate. You hear him on the CBS Sports Radio Roundup, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. Greg, welcome to the old West Babylon Studios. How you doing tonight?
Happy New Year to you. This is your first time in here in 2016. This is my first time in here ever. I'm honored to be here with you, and thanks for having me on.
I didn't think I'd pop your cherry in any sort of anything. Whoa. Besides eating junk food, but I have popped this WGBB cherry on
around
the
New house. York. The junk food is tough to get down my throat, but
we're not getting to get into all the roommate accolades and stories and. Because there's plenty of them. We got a lot to get into today, folks. Later on in the show, make sure you keep joining us. Because former Mets pitcher, former major leaguer, SNY Mets analyst on the pre- and post-game show on SNY, a guy who was a guest of Brown and Scoop on Friday. You can catch that daily on play.it/Brown and Scoop, iTunes, and Spotify. Me and Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Nelson Figueroa will join us at FigSNY on Twitter. He'll be coming on around 9:30. In my best Scooby-Doo voice. There.
I'm excited to talk to Nelson. I know you talked to him a little bit on
your
show.
Good guy.
Oh, great guy. I talked to him for a minute. He stopped in our studio, and I'm excited to talk to him. And I had mentioned him a story to him about how me and my mom were at, like, Shea Stadium, and we both threw a ball at him at the same time because he was like, yeah, you throw us an autograph. And it was pretty funny.
And we have orange and blue mics here. I'm going to put my ring on now, my 86 ring. And if you're on the webcam, sportstalk1240.com/webcam, you'll see I'm wearing today's giveaway, which is the Yoenis Cespedes compression sleeve. Now, why I don't have a Cubano in my hand to smoke with this compression sleeve, I don't know. Because that'd be pretty boss, but I don't.
You should untuck it from your sleeve there. It looks a little. There you go.
Let's bring the swag level
up a little bit. We need to turn that swag level. Jay, you see swag, me out here with the red, white,
he's
blue.
He's dressed for the golf club. Happy 4th of July weekend,
happy
by the way.
4th of July.
4th of July tomorrow. So the Mets complete the 4-game sweep. So similar to last year. Dominant fashion. 2 blowouts, 2 close games, 4-3. Today, me and Greg, both in the building. For just what was a blowout of the Cubs, 14 runs. We saw Miguel Montero coming in pitch for the Cubs. We saw Jacob DeGrom pinch hit. We saw a 7-run inning that had 8 straight guys get on base. They batted around almost twice. What a game full of just
Wilmer
excitement.
Wilmer Flores hit two home runs in this game.
And
Jake,
pulling off his best Edgardo Alfonso.
That's my boy.
The Fonz is here. 6 for 6. 2 homers, 4 RBIs. Alfonso, we did our research before.
6.
Elias Sports Bureau tells us that he hit 3 homers.
6 for 6. 3 home runs, 5 runs, 6 ribeye steaks.
So Wilmer trying to be Fonzy, but the Fonz is just too cool for that. You know that.
Plays a little bit better defense than Wilmer Flores.
Oh, yes, he does. And the Mets are going to face something here as we get into this week with the Marlins coming to town, with the Nationals coming to town. Where will Jose Reyes go? Is he going to play third? Will he play second? Will he be on the team this week? I think Wilmer Flores' 6 or 6 day, Greg, makes it an interesting debate. What's interesting to me, we'll start with this, is the fact that, and we'll get into more Mets later with Nelson Figueroa. We'll talk Knicks, free agency, what we think should complete the roster, NBA free agency. We'll even throw some Nets talk in there because Linsanity is back to New York. We'll talk a bit about the Yankees, who are 1 game under 500 after avoiding a sweep to the abysmal Padres today on the West Coast. We'll get into all that later, but we're focused on the New York Metropolitans right now. And give us a call at 631-888-8811 if you want to join us. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio. What's your Twitter? GLarn34.
At GLarn34. GLARN34.
So you can follow us all there, and you follow the Brown and Scoop show as well. Shameless plug. we'll get into all that. But the Mets. What interests me, Greg, is the fact that we entered this weekend thinking this. One, Panic City. Two, how will Noah Syndergaard and Steven Matz look the rest of the way? You had the bone spurs. You had Adam Rubin crying. Noah making fun of Adam Rubin crying. You had injuries. You had when is Reyes coming to save us, blah, blah, blah. The best team's coming here. This weekend could get ugly. And, Greg, they just looked so good in every dimension. The bullpen was great. Familia got out of a tough spot. The offense showed some life today and Friday, and they got timely hits Thursday with that comeback down 3-0, starting with the Cespedes bomb. A lot of positive signs to take from a pretty banged-up Mets team that got a little healthy this weekend.
How about Addison Reed, too? This guy is basically an unsung hero of this team because he's done a really good job building that bridge to Jarius Familia this year. He was a little shaky last year. Tyler Clippert, obviously, was the main setup man last year, but he's gone. Addison Reed shaved off his head. He's come back a new man, basically. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job in the game last night to get out of a jam and, like I said, build that bridge to Familia. And in terms of Wilmer Flores and Jose Reyes, that situation, I think it's no contest. If Jose Reyes is up here, he's got to be playing third base. You've got to get him in the lineup because, to me, Wilmer Flores doesn't really offer me anything. He offers me basically zero defense. He's nothing special at the plate in the lineup. Yes, he had a big day today, and it's going to make people rethink Wilmer Flores and look at him differently. And to me, I look at him still the same. He's the defensive liability. He brings no speed, no athleticism, and he can get hot every once in a while, and he can put a couple over the fence, but he really hasn't done anything this year. Jose Reyes, for me, is a guy who can get on base. He can make things happen with his legs as long as he's healthy. And he's got a very, very strong arm. We've seen many years of Jose Reyes across the diamond. I think he'll have no problems adjusting to third base and sliding right at the top of that lineup and giving us a little bit of athleticism because that's one thing that the New York Mets have missed dearly.
They need a leadoff hitter. I mean, Curtis Grandish, and let's be real, he's not a leadoff hitter. He was put in that role. His OBP has not been that good this year. While you can say Reyes, the past couple of years, his OBP hasn't been high, I think a fresh start in New York coming back home, and he was there today. The question is when he will return. It'll be sometime this week. I'm not sure what day yet. I'm hoping it's a game that I'm at this week. Would be nice to see his return. I saw it in Brooklyn. But I agree 100%, Greg. I wish we could disagree on something so I could yell at you like we do around the house. No, we don't. We actually get along pretty well because we're both Mets
fans. Never here. We're never there. We're
He's
both
in
never
Connecticut
there
on the weekend.
Time.
If I'm in the studio during the week where it's like one person's on a date, the other person's not. It's just a It's a revolving door. It's
it
like,
really
oh,
is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. You could do a whole podcast just on that.
maybe that's an
idea. This is a radio show. It's hard for me to put the two and two together. It's been a while. Done a couple of guest spots, but never the full radio show in 2016. So it's good to be back. But I think the key is Reyes has to be effective when he comes up here. And that's what they're waiting for. They want him to be 100%. They want him to be able to play nine innings on back-to-back days. I think this just gives him flexibility because now you have Flores as a backup. You could play Flores a little bit at first if there's a lefty on the mound, which is clutch because he can play first. You could play Reynolds at first. They have options now with the platoon until Duda does come back.
Yeah, that's another thing. I apologize for interrupting you,
no, right.
Jake,
I
wanted to bring this up to you because we talked about it a little bit in the car. What do you do if you're the New York Mets and you've got James Loney who's absolutely, you know, not tearing the cover off the ball. But
he's playing defense.
He's playing
really good defense.
And he's hitting the ball. He's
hitting
line drives, Jake. Yeah. That's one thing that this team has missed. And I would love to be honest with you, I'd love to see Terry Collins hit him number three so he can get on base in front of Cespedes a little bit more. No,
Loney.
I'm talking about Loney in front of Cespedes because he gets on base. He hits line drives.
Although Cespedes is crushing in the three hole right now.
I know. I understand that. But I'm saying it'd be nice to get him a little bit more, some other people on base in front of him. To hit when he hits those home runs, it seems like they're all solo shots.
Yeah.
Although he did do a good job today going the other way, hitting some line drives, just getting base hits and moving the line. That's something we really haven't seen a lot out of this New York Mets team in 2016.
Terry Collins is just obsessed with the fact of going righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty. This isn't 1945 anymore. Stop it with your old school managing. Manage the game the right way. Put your best hitters at the top in the middle of the lineup. I don't like him mixing and matching because it puts guys like Loney down in like a sixth spot when he's playing great right now. Should be hitting higher. So I like Cabrera in the two. It's going to be interesting with Reyes in the one. Do you put Grandy down in maybe the sixth spot, or do you put him in the three? It's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. What's your ideal lineup when Reyes does come back?
if you're going to move Granderson anywhere, I can live with him in the two hole, but I don't want him anywhere near the middle of the lineup. If he's not batting one or two, I want him down at the highest sixth, seventh, or even eighth.
Granderson's not hitting eighth. Darno's going to hit eighth.
I like Darno right now hitting runners in scoring positions better than I like Curtis Granderson hitting with runners in scoring positions.
Granderson's crushing the ball, though. He's hitting homers. He's been good lately.
That's it.
He's been solid lately. Granderson's been playing well. He's coming off an injury.
He just got off the injury today.
Maybe in the seven. I don't think they'll put him down there. I
wish they'd put him in the nine hole and then hit Syndergaard eight.
Jeez, you're ripping. I am down on Granderson because his
runners in scoring position numbers are brutal this year.
Yeah, but he's been hitting a lot of homers that have helped carry this team.
Then you can bat him seventh or sixth or seventh is okay with me. If you want him two because he gets on base, that's fine. You know, that's okay with me. And I wanted to ask you about this. How's your feeling on Brandon Nimmo? And is this a guy that's going to be sticking around for, you know, the rest of the season? Or is Michael Conforto going to get himself back up?
You got to play Nimmo. I think he's provided a little bit of spark. He could run. He could defend. He's goofy, but a cool goofy.
It's like 100 Pence goofy.
He's like the goofy kid that you like. You're questioning why you're friends with him, but you're like, yo, he's just so goofy that I love him. It's that kind of person. That's what he is. You're like, this guy, it's hard to watch him sometimes, but he ignites the team. And match him with Reyes, and the Mets are going to be fun to watch. I mean, we're talking about a team, as I'm reading on Twitter, that Dwayne Wade becoming a Milwaukee Buck is a real possibility. I hope that's not true.
Wow. That would be big for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I think he'll
stay. Go play with Jason Kidd.
But we'll talk NBA later. I think that Reyes, no question, has the leadoff. Cabrera is nice in the two-hole. Cespedes in the three. I don't like Neil Walker when he hits cleanup. I don't like Loney cleanup. They're going to have flexibility. We'll say that.
I think they're
going to be set.
I think.
And we'll talk with Nelson. Do they need to make a trade?
I understand. Yeah. No, I like Cespedes in the four hole. I like him in the cleanup hole better than. To me, he's not my prototypical three hitter where he can do everything. Although, like you said, he's seeing the ball and hitting the ball very, very well at this point. Right now, he's hitting home runs. He's going the other way, which I like. And I don't know if it's just me or you feel the same way, Jake, but I don't know why they shift against this guy. He's a pretty adept at hitting the ball at all fields.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't understand the shift ever, honestly.
And this is why I want James Loney, whose on-base percentage is .350 right now. He's almost hitting .300, .294. I'd love to see him in the three-hole in front of Cespedes so he can get on base. And then Cespedes, who's hitting really well in the four-hole, then he can move guys around. And you can have Cabrera batting two. You could have Neil Walker batting two. And then whichever one's not, batting fifth. That's fine with me. They're interchangeable. And I'm real happy with Asdrubal Cabrera this year, man. I've got to tell you.
Yes.
I'm loving his defense at short. Everything that you heard was this guy's defense is diminished. He's not a shortstop anymore. He was playing second base the last couple of years. Hitting for a little bit of power, giving you 10 home runs. I hope he keeps up in the second half because we are right at the midway point right now. And if he can continue what he's doing, this is going to be a dangerous playoff team. And they're going to have some good depth up the middle.
It's going to be interesting to see if they'll need to keep building within. A lot of it's going to depend on how well Reyes plays and how well Nimmo continues to play, if he can keep that up. I think we're going to see Conforto up here at some point. But it may not be till August/September. He may need another month in AAA, work out a swing, and you want to test out Nimmo now. Conforto provided that spark last year. Nimmo looks like he could be that guy this year. You had the mix of him along with Cespedes last year, along with Uribe and Kelly Johnson. Now you're getting a little bit of Kelly Johnson. You're getting a little bit of Matt Reynolds. You're getting Jose coming now. And it's going to be a fun team to watch down the stretch. We'll see if they do make a deal. I think their pitching is fine. I think the bullpen has been pretty solid. Reed has been good. Blevins has been good. Familia has not blown a save yet this year. He's setting records now with what he's doing. And how about Thursday night, man? What a game. Greg actually caught me on TV on the Shea Bridge after the game and said, "What up, Jay Swizzy?" on the Snapchat.
That's right.
And I was on there. I don't know why went to the Shea
Bridge. Sometimes they do that at the end of the game. They just pan to the Shea Bridge, or because that's that's one of the most iconic places in Citi Field. In Citi Field. I'm not saying iconic like in general, but iconic in Citi Field. Everybody knows the Shea Bridge. You know, and it's a great place to see people walking back and forth.
And you have an iconic person on the iconic
bridge. I know. It's an iconic moment.
When I think of that, it makes more sense.
But can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Are we both in agreement and in lockstep, as I think we're going to be, that Deaza needs to be bought out and just DFA'd?
He has been an automatic out. I think he had a single this weekend.
He did.
Gave him jumps for joy. I think you have to get
him
to go.
He had a big walk in yesterday's game, though.
It's just tough because
before
the outfielder is Legarza, you're not going to have Conforto and Nimmo on the roster. One of them has to work on their offense in AAA.
And Conforto hitting .250 in AAA, 6 for 24 right now. Yeah, 6 for 24.
It's early. I think that the thing they can do, they played Reynolds in left field, they played Kelly Johnson in both left and right, so you have options there, and you have Legarza / Cespedes in center, you have options flip-flop there, so I think there's no reason to keep Diaz on the roster. I like Reynolds on the roster as a backup infielder. I like Flores on the roster because of his ability to hit the long ball occasionally, as he did today. Obviously, you keep Rene Rivera. You keep James Loney. So I think that's the full roster at this point.
And when you had Deaza, Jake, obviously he was a guy early in the season who was your only lefty coming off the bench. But now you've got guys like Nimmo and Loney's there, lefties that can come off the bench if need be, obviously when Lucas Duda comes back. But that is going to be an interesting scenario. I mean, obviously Loney's going to have to go to the bench. You're not going to put Duda in the outfield. We already saw that experiment and didn't like it.
No.
It wasn't as bad as Daniel Murphy, but still it was it was nothing to really write home about.
If you're just joining us, it's Jake Brown at Jake Brown Radio, along with Greg Larnard at GLarn34 here on Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, as they taught us to say in college, WGBB. And Nelson just texted me saying, call me so I can listen in. Well, Nelson, I cannot right now. I guess, should we call Nelson, Brian? Brian, Nelson wants us to call him. I might give it like a couple minutes because we still got 10 minutes till he comes on.
Yeah. Why don't you text him and tell
unless
him?
He wants him to run. Nelson, I don't know if he wants us to run up his phone bill. Okay, let's see. So this is distracting. Nelson, you're distracting me, Nelson.
Well, how about you?
We'll call him in a couple minutes.
Let's look ahead to what the Mets have coming up. Obviously, they have the Marlins coming up next.
Yeah.
And then you got the Washington Nationals at home, which I would hope they'd want to get some kind of revenge, some kind of payback onto what happened in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Do we know the pitching lineup that is going to be for that series?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So these two series are going to be huge because obviously you got it?
Harvey will take on Kohler tomorrow. Harvey, it's crazy to look at Harvey and see his record is 4-10. Tuesday, tomorrow's a 4 o'clock game. Oh, I thought it was 1 o'clock. Interesting. Tuesday, that might make things interesting.
Jake's trying to dig every little angle to every single baseball game that he can make it to as a Mets.
It's crazy how many games I go to. Tuesday, Mats will take on Chen. Yes, Bruce Chen, I believe. No, it's Wei-Yen Chen.
Relax with the Bruce Chen.
DeGrom in an afternoon game against Nicolino. So three good matchups for the Mets. They got their big guns. And then Colon will take on Giolito, the highly touted prospect.
That's
going to
be an interesting game.
Yeah, Colon's been unbelievable. Friday will be Syndergaard and Strasburg. Strasburg, that's good I have tickets for Friday because Strasburg is 11-0. And Syndergaard's 9-3. Those are the two favorites to start the National League All-Star game with Kershaw injured. Saturday will be Harvey Scherzer, another awesome matchup. And then Sunday will be the Battle of the Southpaws, Mats versus Gonzalez.
Oh,
this
is going to
be a good week.
Oh, great
series. We're thinking the same thing.
Wow. I'm excited, man. Yeah. I love baseball season. I love watching the Mets. And they really,
summer, too.
But you know what? You know, after they got swept by the Washington Nationals, I remember thinking to myself, man, like, last year, in the last couple years, we understand they suck, and we're not expecting anything. So what they did last year made it all that much better. This year, expectations are dangerous, a dangerous thing to get yourself involved with because obviously you're expecting the Mets to play good and play well. I guess I should say the correction with the grammar majors out there. Like I got corrected in the car on the way here.
You did. Not by me.
No, not by you. But no, it was very exciting. And you know, the expectations are dangerous, because if you look at what they were supposed to do this year, and then you get swept by the Washington Nationals, you're six games out of first, you just that defeated feeling, and then to come out and sweep the Cubs, man, I'm shocked. I didn't see this coming whatsoever.
Let's call Nelson now, Brian. Get him on. 5 minutes? Oh, he's telling us to call, and then he says 5 minutes.
All right. Nelson. Probably make up your mind.
Had some Chipotle before the show.
Big Chipotle guy?
I don't know. He might be. Jake Brown, Greg Larner at Sports Talk 1240. Again, if you want to join us, we will have Nelson around 9:30 to 9:45, but we'll take your calls also the rest of the way at 631-888-8811 to talk Mets, to talk Yankees, to talk Knicks, to talk Nets.
Knicks tape.
So we'll transition from the Mets. We'll get into them more with Nelson Figueroa of SNY. You see him on the pre- and post-game show. You can follow him on Twitter, at FigSNY. Former longtime pitcher, played in Taiwan as well. Told me some interesting stories from Taiwan when he pitched there, winning a title, winning three games in the championship series in Taiwan. So that's an interesting experience to talk about. We'll talk Nets and Linsanity, Booker, and Tyler Johnson's insane $50 million deal. And we'll go around the rest of the NBA later on and all the crazy deals, including Mike Conley getting over $30 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And Michael Gruen wants me to shout him out for Friday's tickets to the game.
There we go.
He's tuning in, so shout out Michael Gruen. Thank you.
Is he watching on the stream up there?
I don't think he could hear from there. I think he's listening to the app. And I highly recommend you download the TuneIn app to listen to us. I'll try to make it more frequent coming out here. It is a trek. But Greg, I think, is enjoying himself. Yeah, I don't have a car, so I use Greg's.
It's early. I don't know. We're only about halfway through the show here.
Oh, he might hate me.
It could go south real quick.
But Nelson Figueroa will join us. But, yeah, man, the Mets, I think it's an exciting time. It's going to be intriguing when Reyes does come back to see what they do. So we'll talk more about that with Nelson Figueroa. Let's talk some Knicks basketball, man, because I think we're both pretty huge Knicks fans. And we're both excited at where the team is headed because of the chances that they are taking in free agency. You go out and acquire Derrick Rose along with Holiday and a second-round pick. You trade Robin Lopez, Jerian Grant, Jose Calderon. I think we're in agreement that it was a low-risk, a potential high-reward trade. As much as we liked Robin Lopez's contract, is he a franchise center? Not necessarily. Jerian Grant has a lot of room to grow. I think it's going to take a couple of years. I'm fine with him going. And Calderon was terrible in the triangle last year. As much as I loved that trade with Dallas, it worked out poorly.
He is an absolute turnstile on defense. And thank good riddance to get Calderon. I was actually excited to get Calderon in here because he always seemed to kill the Knicks. And I thought he was just a solid veteran point guard man. I didn't realize how bad of a shooter he would turn into and how bad of a defender.
He also had a bad supporting cast.
Exactly. I can't kill him because obviously the Knicks were not very good, and they haven't really been very good around Melo these last couple of years. Everything that they've thrown at the wall really hasn't worked. But I'm really looking forward to having Derrick Rose as long as he can stay healthy. There's always that caveat where with Noah and with Rose, as long as they can stay healthy, this team should be pretty good. They'll probably be vying for a lower playoff seed, which, hey, man, you get them to the playoffs. I understand the NBA, there's not much parity in the NBA where the higher seeds usually beat up on the lower seeds, unless you're talking about, the Golden State Warriors who beat the Mavericks a while back. They were the eighth seed. They beat the one seed in those playoffs. But, it's going to be exciting. I think the Knicks have a decent shot to get to the playoffs and maybe make some noise. I mean, I don't know. I love
playoffs, definitely. Playoffs.
Playoffs? You talking about playoffs? I love Courtney Lee. So I love the Courtney Lee
signing.
Yes,
Courtney Lee was the other one, and then Noah, yeah. The question is, how will they finish the roster? They're saying they have around $5 million left to spend. Courtney Lee, good deal. I mean, the guy averaged 9 points a game. He's getting $12 million.
They're not paying him to score.
Yeah, what we're seeing now is Tyler Johnson getting the same deal that Courtney Lee got. And Courtney Lee's been in the league for like a decade. Tyler Johnson's been in the league a couple of years.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson's a young kid, but he can play some. He can play some basketball. I saw him against the Knicks.
He can play some basketball.
He can ball. He can
He's
ball
in the NBA,
a little bit.
He better be.
He can ball. No. And on the real though, he can ball a little bit.
Real?
Yeah, on the real. He's
I'm the real. You're putting this on your reel right now.
Yeah, there you go. No, for the real, though. For real, though. He can play basketball. I saw him play against the Knicks last year. Man, I was pretty impressed. I think this kid is very calm, cool, collected, as Clyde would like to say. And he can pass the ball. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He can get to the cup. I don't think this is a bad deal at all. I think this kid is going to be pretty good. Just give him a shot.
We'll see, you're talking about Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson, yeah.
If you're talking Nets along, they also signed Jeremy Lin.
Oh, love that signing.
Love Lin for that deal, 3 years, 36. I think that's a solid deal. They get Trevor Booker, 2 years, 18. Good rebounder, good inside presence, good for the Nets. I'll say that. Not a guy you want leading the franchise, but he might start. You have Lopez, him, Bogdanovich, Lin, Tyler Johnson. Still some pieces to be filled with the Nets as they have some money to spend. But the Knicks starting lineup is Rose, Lee, Melo, Porzingis, Noah. And the key words are if healthy, but putting injuries aside, that is undoubtedly a team that should make the playoffs. I mean, if they don't with that roster, then it means there were injuries that occurred. Because talent-wise, those are five players. Now, how they will mesh is the question. How will Rose mesh with Melo? We almost saw Rose play with Melo when Melo was rumored to maybe go to Chicago. That did not happen. And then Noah and Rose have that familiarity. You got the pick-and-roll offense there that's bound to work as Greg is playing around with this computer, his new computer, has no idea what he's doing. And you have Porzingis, and you also have Kyle Quinn still there as a backup, a guy that you talked to a couple of weeks ago at an event with Topspin. But I think Holiday will likely make the roster. They'll probably bring back Galloway. The question is, how else do they complete the roster? They don't have a lot of money. Do you go out and get an Aaron Brooks to be a backup point guard? Who are some of the capable fill-in options, Greg, that you would put in to the Knicks bench right now?
Well, a couple of the options you're looking at, obviously you need a backup point guard. And you would mention Langston Galloway. I don't mind Galloway. He's a guy. You know, he's a hard-nosed player, but he's not all that. He's not extremely talented, which is, you know, something that the Knicks need is some talent. Which is huge, and they also have their second round draft pick from last year. His name escapes me right now. Hernan Gomez,
yeah.
The 6'10" guy. I think he's going to be a good player. His brother actually got drafted this year. But you look at guys. You're looking at Aaron Brooks. You're looking at Ramon Sessions. You're looking at who was the other guy? Jared Jack, who we both are in lockstep. We really like Jared Jack. If he would come here and be the backup point guard, and if anything happened to Derrick Rose, I'd be absolutely fine turning the point guard. I understand he's not the Derrick Rose, you know, caliber, but you know, still he is a capable backup, and he was going to be the starter for the Brooklyn Nets. I almost said the New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets this past year. And I know a lot of people want to kill Derrick Rose and saying he's not the same guy that he was, you know, in his MVP type years. That's fine, Jake. We don't need Derrick Rose the MVP. Obviously, it would be nice, but all we're looking for is an upgrade. And even what Derrick Rose is right now, if he's healthy, he's still going to be a very effective player, a lot better at the point guard position that the Knicks have had in God knows how long. It's been a long time since. And then maybe you look at a couple guys. You know, obviously they're looking to re-sign Lance Thomas. They'd love to re-sign Derek Williams because he actually gave them some good minutes and some good, you know, athleticism off the bench last year. Mm-hmm. He's going to probably want too much money. He probably won't be back. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm a big Lance Thomas supporter. I know you're not. He's just a guy to you.
Right.
But to me, he plays some good defense and he really improved his shooting last year. I know he's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to be a stud. But he's a guy that comes off the bench. He'll play hard. He'll play some defense for you and he'll knock down that open shot, whether it be a two pointer, a layup, a three pointer, whatever it may be.
The Knicks are going to be an exciting team to watch. We're going to take a break here. Shout out to loyal listener, super fan of the show, Marsha from Florida State. Really, really on her ones and twos listening to this program right now, doing a great job tuning in on the TuneIn app where you listen to us. It's Jake Brown. It's Greg Larned of CBS Sports Radio Roundup. And Nelson Figueroa is also listening on the TuneIn app like a boss would do. He is doing. So shout out to Nelson Figueroa, who will join us next. We're talking Mets with Nelson. More NBA free agency later on. But coming up next is Jake Brown, Greg Larned, and former Met Nelson Figueroa right here on Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Jake Brown, Greg Larner back. Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. We're here live, Jake Brown Radio at GLarn 34. We talked some Knicks, we talked Mets, we talked a lot of stuff in the first half, so breathe a little bit, take a deep breath, because now it's the interview portion of the show with a guy who was on Brown and Scoop on CBS Radio's Played At It Friday. You catch him. He had a rare off day today. I saw that he was not in studio. Jim Duquette was there. It was Nelson Figueroa, the former MLB starting pitcher. You pitched from 2000 up until 2014, if you include your time overseas. And now he's the pre- and post-game analyst on SNY. You follow him on Twitter at FigSNY. Nelson, thanks for coming on, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, boys. What's going on?
And just enjoying the 4th of July weekend and a Mets sweep. I mean, be honest, Nelson. How surprised were you that the Mets swept the Cubs the way they did?
Oh, very surprised. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, just like I thought it would happen. And the way I drew it up, no chance. You looked at the Cubs coming into the series. I wouldn't say they were clicking on all cylinders, but they just swept, you know, Cincinnati, and they had the guys lined up in their rotation that they wanted. You were going to have to face Arrieta and everything else. You knew that was going to be a tough game. But, wow, what the Mets did this weekend, and, you know, everybody complains about the long ball. That's all they do is hit home runs. They weren't complaining after the sweep, were they?
Chicks dig the long ball, indeed. So everyone's riding on the Mets bandwagon right now. What's your thoughts on this team and kind of the position changes, the guys getting healthy now? First off, have you heard at all when Jose Reyes may make his debut?
No, they haven't really told us much to that. You know, they haven't let everyone in the public know. It's really a wait-and-see kind of thing. If Wilmer Flores is going to continue to hit the way he's hitting, then why rush it? Let Reyes get as comfortable as he can, getting, you know, the speed of the game, slowing down for him. It's not like he's tearing it up down there and, you know, wasting at-bats. Right now he's still getting his legs underneath him and trying to do all the little things. And, you know, they might need a little bit more time to get him to play other positions because third base, for the time being, Wilmer Flores, the way he's swinging the bat, and, you know, he's doing a good enough job with the defense. I think that they're not in panic mode with it at all. And Reyes is such a low-cost, you know, option for them that why not give him as much time to have his game face on and be ready when he comes up.
Nelson, Greg Larner here. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes here on WGBB. And, you know, I wanted to just ask you a little bit about Jose Reyes because Jake and I were just talking about it. When he does get up here, I know we're not sure exactly when he's going to be here, but when he does get here, do you see him unseating a Wilmer Flores? And to me, he's just kind of a guy. He's nothing special. But Jose Reyes, man, he could be something special here at Citi Field.
Oh, no doubt. That's, I think, the reason you even took a chance with someone like Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes wants to be a New York Met. He wanted to be a New York Met. You know, you left for the money, as all players, when you have an opportunity to cash in on that big deal, you have to take that opportunity. But his heart is in New York. He wanted to be here, and he's going to be you know, it's like he never left when he gets back. He's going to feel so comfortable in the surroundings. But remember, this isn't 28-year-old Jose Reyes either. Don't think he's going to come out there and steal your 40 bags and hit you 15, 20 triples. So let's kind of, you know, tame down the expectations, what you're going to see. And right now he's still trying to figure out how to get more than one hit in the game at the AA level. But I think one of the things about Reyes is he's such a dynamic player. How do you not take that chance at paying him less than $300,000 for the rest of the season when he does come up? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. So for me, I say, you know, Reyes can, the idea is to have him as a super utility player. That was what was initially thrown out at us, to give Cabrera a nice day off. You have Reyes, you know, be able to play short. You won't, it's not really a downgrade when you look at what Reyes can do at short. Also, going in to fill in that third base, getting more acclimated there. Because Wilmer Flores can do well in streaks. We know that, you know, once he gets to be about, you know, around 10 games in a row, that's a bit much for Wilmer Flores. His bat gets a little slow and his feet get a little slow and then everything else starts to fall off. So I think they'll find a way to have Reyes mixed in there nicely and keep everybody fresh.
And there is, this is Greg Lawner and Jake Brown. We're talking with Nelson Figueroa. And when you're talking about Reyes, and we talked about him at third base, there's been some rumblings about him possibly going and playing the outfield. And if, first of all, do you see that happening? And if so, does that mean, you know, does Nimmo go back down, or does Deaza, you know, maybe get DFA'd? There's been some talk about that too, because he really hasn't lived up to, and I understand he hasn't gotten consistent playing time. And I understand that, being a former baseball player myself, that, you know, it's hard to kind of get going when you don't get consistent at bats, but he really hasn't been that good for the New York Mets this season.
No, not at all. Diaz would be the first one to tell you how disappointed he is in his season. You know, I speak with him regularly, and I know he's going through. You know, you want to always have your greatest games when you get a chance to play, but it's few and far between. I think his at-bats are definitely getting better. You know, the results aren't exactly what he wants, but he's had a nice few at-bats during these last few games where he's worked out a walk and scored a run. That's a productive day right there in itself. I think everybody's expecting him to go there and everybody on the team hit 300. That's not going to happen. So I don't know if Diaz is going to be the way to go. You got to remember, the almighty dollar speaks volumes. He's making $5 million. You don't exactly want to throw out $5 million out the window if you don't have to. So somebody like Reynolds could see going back down, because now you have Jose Reyes. Again, put it on a scale. Jose Reyes or Reynolds? Jose Reyes or Reynolds? I think you're going to go with Jose Reyes over in that essence. Plus, Diaz still gives you a little bit more team speed if you need that. He can pinch run. He can do a lot of other things. Plus, playing the outfield, now you don't have to worry about Jose Reyes trying to play the outfield for the first time in his career, where, you know, you have that certainty of him being able to move around the infield.
But Nelson, can't you go with Johnson and Reynolds in the outfield? We saw Reynolds test it out. He looked okay last week. You wouldn't keep that? Obviously, it's not the better defensive idea, but it's still a decent option, right?
Right, but at the same time, would you like to continue the open tryouts in left field, or would you rather go with a for sure major league outfielder who plays very good defense? We know that about Diaz. If he's not going to be able to, you know, carry it with a bat, he's got to be able to use that glove, and he does do a fine job of playing the outfield. He can play any one of the three outfield positions, so that has value in itself. At the same time, you can also swing Flores around, and if, you know, it's a tough lefty, give Loney the day off. Flores can play first base. You have Reyes playing on third base, and then, you know, you have so many options right there with your Terry Collins to use all these weapons at your disposal. Take nothing away from Reynolds. I've loved what he's done since he's come up, and he's learning also on the fly as well, getting that major league, every major league at bat he gets, he seems to get a little bit more comfortable. Nimmo has been a nice surprise. I really, you know, in the beginning you could kind of see he was a little overwhelmed, and then it just kind of started to click, and it started to slow down for him. And once he faced Max Scherzer and had some good at-bats, he's been a different cat out there, and I love his enthusiasm. That's something that you can't take for granted up at the major league level.
Former Diamondback, Philly Brewer, Pirate, Met, Philly, Astro. Nelson Figueroa on the line at FigSNY on Twitter, with Jake Brown at Jake Brown Radio, and Greg Larner, GLarner34, on Sports Talk 1240 here on a Sunday night, 4th of July, the eve of 4th of July. Nelson getting ready to pop open a couple of bottles tonight, I'm sure, later on. Let's talk about Brandon Nimmo. How much do you love this guy? I mean, he's goofy, but a good goofy is how I described him earlier. He's kind of like a Hunter Pence, but he's provided kind of a mini spark to this team this last week.
before I even saw that guy's face, I walked past him down in the clubhouse in spring training, and just his body, his posture. Mm-hmm. I said, man, this guy looks like Hunter Pence. Like, his everything about him, just the way he walked around, and you kind of hear that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do when he walks. He has that music playing in the background. But what the kid does is you can't hide that smile. You can't fake that. You know, there's so many guys now that want to be so cool and, oh, I've done this before, and don't want to smile and enjoy the moment. And I think what we've learned through last year with Flores crying on the field, that these guys are not robots. They have emotions. The fans flock to that. They gravitate to that because that's how you would feel in that moment if you had it. And so to see Nimmo getting the opportunities and making the most of it, and, you know, Conforto's down there, and it's not like we're never going to hear from Michael Conforto again. I think everybody knows that. It's just an amount of time. He gets his confidence. He gets that swing back. He'll be back up in the major leagues. But in the time being, Brandon Nimmo will do anything you want him to do. He'll get the water. He'll pick up the bats if you need him to. He wants to be out there enjoying his time in a major league uniform. And, man, I tell you what, I love watching a kid like Nimmo make the most of his opportunity. And then when you see somebody like Bartolo Colon going up against Jake Arrieta, and he's just, you know, a kid playing baseball. And those are the types of guys that I gravitate towards because they're enjoying the moment. You don't hear them talk about any of the things outside of it, how much money they're going to make, all the cars they drive. All you hear about is, my team won today, I was able to help, and I'm happy.
Absolutely, and it's great, and I think it's going to be awesome if Nimmo and Conforto can be in this outfield together down the road somewhere. But Nelson, I want to talk on, and I want to touch on the bullpen, and it's been darn good this year. I think better than people expected. Antonio Bastardo's been not as good as I think some people expected, but man, can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing from Addison Reed? Because he looks like a completely different pitcher from years past. You know, he was really good as a closer, then he kind of lost himself a little bit, and now he's back with the Mets this year. And I was a little nervous about him being the bridge to Familia, but just talk a little bit about what he's been so successful at so far this season.
Well, I mean, if you look at it from something a little bit closer to us, so you look at somebody like Drew Storen, who was with the Nationals. He had saved 31 of 32 games before the All-Star break. They go ahead and get Papelbon. Dude was never the same again. Couldn't shut down the eighth inning. It's not the game closer that he was beforehand. The eighth inning was supposed to be his inning. He couldn't get the job done because they took away his heart. They took away his swagger. Everything that he felt that he was to that team, they were like, that's good, but we got a sexier option. And that killed him. He winds up getting traded. He's gone. Addison Reed, same kind of thing. He's over at the Diamondbacks, and he's not the closer. He can't find it. They send him to the minor leagues. You go to the minor leagues, you have one of two choices. You either get hungrier or get ready to go home. That's basically what it turns out to be. This guy came back up, was definitely on a different vibe when he got through August and then gets traded over to the Mets. He's on a first-place team now with something to play for. Gets all the way to the World Series, and then this year they told him from the beginning, eighth inning job is yours with a chance to close if something happens. And all he said was, I'm getting three outs whenever you put me in a ball game. And he has done that in just a tremendous, tremendous fashion where you don't even bat an eyelash when he comes into the ball game anymore.
A couple more minutes with Nelson Figueroa here of SNY. Do you like the Mets? Obviously a tremendous weekend. Do you like them, Nelson, as currently constituted to be a team that could get to the World Series again, or are you going to trade prospects to get a bat?
I mean, look at what we're talking about now with Reyes being in there. What bat would you be looking for? What's available? What are you willing to give up? Again, if it's going to be some kind of, you know, blockbuster-type move, and you think it's going to solidify the team, but, again, you don't want to kill that chemistry. These guys are busting their butts together to get through all the ups and downs of a season, and that move, you know, there's no Cespedes out there this year that you can just go ahead and get and would do that deal in a heartbeat. Give away two minor league double-A pitchers for a guy like Cespedes, I'd do it tomorrow and the day after that. But there's nothing like that for you available. Would you like to have another arm there in the back end of the bullpen? Absolutely. I think that's always a luxury that you would love to have. I mean, you no run DMC over on the other side. You know, that's a great thing to have for Girardi. But I think if I'm going to do something, it's going to have to be the right thing. It can't be. You have so many other weapons still. Conforto is not back up. You know, Nimmo is playing well. The outfield has six deep right now. When you have Lagares back from the DL playing well, and we're talking about trying to find time for Jose Reyes and Johnson to play, and you know, so there's a very full roster right now. I mean, I don't see anything that's really it's gonna have to wow you. Something's gonna have to wow you to be like, okay, we have to make that move. But I don't think as it stands now, they didn't panic. They didn't go ahead because all of a sudden you had Flores playing third base, because Flores has batted 315 since taking over third base on June 3rd. Bottom line, the guy has flat out hit. He had a tremendous day today. That helps. Don't get me wrong. He had an 0 for 14 slump before that, but he is doing a fine enough job where he's not hurting you. He was not the issue when the offense was going stagnant. He was one of the bats that was still hitting. So if they can do just a little bit, I don't need 14 runs every day. I need four. If you can find a way to score four runs with that pitching staff, you're going to be in every single ball game, and I would say 75% of the time on the winning side, and that'll get you into the playoffs with a shot at the World Series.
Quickly, Nelson, before we let you go, I know you're a big NBA fan. Your thoughts so far on the Knicks offseason?
Hey, I tell you what, that first deal right there, you go get D. Rose, I mean, for what you gave up, really, are you going to miss what you gave up with an opportunity to get, even if you get to, you know, 2013 D. Rose, not 2011 D. Rose, the MVP? I mean, D. Rose is a dynamic player. I just think they're putting some good pieces together. You got Joakim Noah coming in. My only thing is, can you make it all work? And then, you know what the bad word is? If I say the T word involved with all of this, how are they all going to learn the triangle together? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Is that still feasible for these guys to now, okay, we got, you know, four new guys into the mix. You got Porzingis and Anthony who know this triangle a little bit because it's not like they mastered it yet. Now you're going to add two new players right there, and then you're still looking to add another piece. I mean, it could be a little overwhelming, but, hey, anytime you get bona fide stars, mm-hmm. veteran players in those uniforms with their names on the back, with Knicks on the front, you take it.
It's going to be a fun Knicks team to watch, and the Garden's going to be full of celebs on Celebrity Row. Nelson Figueroa, pre- and post-game analyst, SNY, at FigSNY on Twitter. Nelson, good talking to you again. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Nelson.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Have a good night.
Take care, right, man.
So long.
Nelson Figueroa, at FigSNY, does a terrific job doing the pre- and post-games and listening in on the TuneIn Radio app. It's free on your phone, so you're a fool if you don't listen. It's Jake Brown at Jake Brown Radio is where you find me and the co-host of the Brown and Scoop podcast, which is daily, including Sundays, on play.it/Brown and Scoop. And Greg Larned of the CBS Sports Radio Roundup and The Word with G. Follow him on Twitter at GLarned34. And if you don't follow Brown and Scoop, subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Quick preview, Greg, of what we have this week. We'll have Jason Earls from Hannah Montana, the co-star of that show,
who has some
great Miley Cyrus stories, including
Sweet.
A time that she farted.
She was hot.
That she had a loud farting segment in between acts, which was funny. We'll have Dave Shula, son of Don Shula, who tells us that Bill Belichick will never top his dad. Tomorrow we'll have Hall of Famer Rod Carew, one of the great baseball players ever, on Tuesday, along with Will Estes of Blue Bloods and Miss USA from 2015, Olivia Jordan. Wednesday, Candace Wiggins, the former WNBA star. DJ WooKid, 50 Cent's DJ, who tells us the time on Gronk's Party Cruise, where someone in VIP left a pile of poop with a $20 bill on it on the cruise. LaTroy Hawkins, who has some interesting claims on Thursday about Cubs fans and words they shouted at him. That's a must-listen. A NASA astronaut, Clayton Anderson. Luke Robitaille of the Rangers Friday. And Phil Lewis on Friday as well. So a busy week there. But this is Sports Talk 1240.
I got to say real quick, Jake, you guys are actually absolutely killing the game right now.
Thank you.
Michael Gruen. Especially Michael Gruen. He is killing the game right now for you guys.
So.
With guest getting. And Michael, you're doing a good job out there, buddy. And It was good to meet you, and you're killing it for Brown and Scoop there, and you guys are getting a lot of good guests, going viral.
The
it
dude
seems
got
like
Dr.
every
Ben Carson, which I didn't think was possible.
Every
so
week, it seems like you guys are getting, you know, going viral at least once or twice a week. It's incredible. You guys are doing a great job, and just quickly on the roundup, we're gonna have a lot of we're gonna have a lot of Major League Baseball talk, NBA free agency stuff, and of course some NFL stuff. So let's get back into the NFL free agency for the last 10 minutes here.
NBA, because NFL we're not
NBA
focused on
NBA
yet.
Free agency. I mean.
What stood out is the money, Greg. I mean, I think that's the number
yes,
one.
Yes, can I? I want to ask you a couple. I want to see your
me.
Take
ask away.
On a couple of the guys who yes. got some big money deals.
Yes.
I'm just going to give you three or four real quick. I'm going to ask you. I want your take. How about first Al Horford going from the Hawks to the Celtics, 4 years, $113 million. Do you like the money and do you like the fit?
I think the money works just because that's the money. The figures are being thrown around when Mike Conley's making over $30 million. I think around 28 for Horford is good. He's a star player. I think it's perfect in Boston. I think that came out of nowhere that he went to the Celtics. I think the Celtics really are building a really good contender here in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland. They're going to be a top five team in the East. We'll see how they finish. Love the Horford signing. Greg, your thoughts. Here's Weehee in Long Island on AM 1240 of Horford to the Celtics. You like the move?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of big men, whether it be Kelly Olynyk, Jared Sullinger. I know Jared Sullinger is still a free agent this year. And they have also, oh man, what is his name? Amir Johnson? Is that correct?
Yes, Amir Johnson.
Yes, they have him too. They got a couple big guys down there, but Al Horford is a legitimate all-star player. He's not a superstar. He's an all-star. And that's something they needed to pair with Isaiah Thomas, because Isaiah Thomas also an all-star. I really, really like Isaiah Thomas's game. Obviously not the former Knick executive and former bad boy of the Pistons, but I like Isaiah Thomas. I like his repertoire, what he can do getting to the hoop and setting his teammates up and shooting the basketball. So I think pairing, it's not going to take the Celtics over the top, but I really do like the makeup of the Celtics and what they're doing with Brad Stevens and that good young core. And it was they had a really good season last year. I thought they were going to go a little bit farther, but I think this Al Horford move will definitely help. And another guy that I was looking at, and I want to see your opinion on this guy. How about Bradley Beal getting 5 years, $128 million, a guy who's often injured for the Wizards, coming back to the Wiz for 5 more years. I know he's a great young talent to pair with John Wall, but it never seems like both of those guys can be healthy at the same time.
I like it. I think Beal, you knew he was going to stay, so I'm fine with that move. I think it's a lot of money, but again, we're going to see even more money next summer when the CBA and the whole salaries go all the way up, in the words of Fat Joe and French Montana. My boy, of course, French Montana, still the background on my phone, me and French. But I think that's a good move. I think Rajon Rondo to the Bulls is a solid move for that price. What was it, 2 years, $24 million? I think that's a good deal. I said before, Lynn was a good deal to the Nets for that. 3 years, 36. Luol Deng heading to the Lakers at 4 years, 72. I think that's fair. You got to say them with a grain of salt, these contracts. Eric Gordon, 4 years, 53. I think if healthy, that's a good deal for the Rockets. Harrison Barnes, Mavericks, max. Is Harrison Barnes a max player?
Not even close. This guy kind of disappeared in the finals. He showed up when the games basically were blowouts. He's not a max player to me, and he's not going to be like a James Harden was on those Thunder teams back in the day, where he was basically buried as like the third option behind Russ and KD. And then when he was able to get his own team with the Rockets, he flourished. This is not what's going to happen with Harrison Barnes. I'm sorry. He's not going to be that max player. He's not going to become, I don't even know if he's an all-star. Regardless of a max player, I don't even know if he's an all-star.
A guy that people were rooming to come to the Knicks, Dwight Howard, goes to the Atlanta Hawks.
Thank
to
God.
Replace Al Horford at 3 years, $70.5 million, a man. They overpaid for a guy who's just not been able to stay on the court, who's been a cancer to the locker room. But it's a good replacement for Al Horford. If you got to get a similar player who could dominate the interior, it is him. We'll see if he stays
He's
healthy.
He's going home.
Mike Conley stays. 5 years, $153 million. That's
a
ton of money.
For Mike Conley.
But a very good underrated point guard. Chandler Parsons. Getting a ton of money. 4 years, $98.5 million.
Yeah, that's what he was
with
looking for.
Memphis.
That man seems like he's all about that money.
With the knee injury, he's all about that money. Evan Turner headed to Portland. Evan Turner gets 4 years, $70 million. Man, It is a good time to be an NBA free agent in 2016. I can't think of one occupation that is better than being in the NBA at this point, because these guys are cashing up and cashing out.
What do you think is going to happen with J.R. Smith, our good buddy J.R. Smith? Do you think he's going to stick with LeBron and the Cavs, or is he going to try to go find some money as well?
I think it depends. I think he should stay with Cleveland if he wants to maybe win another title, but we know J.R. is all about that paper. So that's we'll see
how
that plays
out. He could use
out.
That money to invest in a shirt maybe or two.
Yes, he needs to pretend he's not on Jerry Springer and put some clothing on. Lakers and Timofey Mozgov, this blew up Twitter at 4 years, $64 million, and he got a ton. You surprised by the money that Timofey Mozgov got?
Yeah, Timofey is a nice player. I liked him when he was on the Knicks, and he played well when he had an opportunity when he was with Cleveland, but there was just no room for him anymore. And I think, you know, with a nice young core of guys there in Los Angeles, I think he is going to fit well. He's going to be that big guy in the middle for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say like an Andrew Bogut is for the Golden State Warriors, because I'm not comparing the Warriors to the Lakers, but at the same time, that center position, Jake, is kind of going away from us, and the NBA is kind of going to this smaller type lineup, and I think guys like Andrew Bogut and Timofey Mozgov may be a thing of the past, but at the same time, you know, he got some money, and he's going to play the center position. I think this may be a good opportunity on a bad team for him to do and put up some good numbers.
Kevin Durant,
yeah, where
I say he
going?
Stays. Where you do you think? I think there's no chance he leaves. Although they're saying the Clippers put together quite the night for him or something.
Yeah, yeah, he was really blown away by what the Clippers did, presenting, the presentation that they presented to him. And I know that there's a lot of presents presenting.
It's been a long day, folks.
It's been a long day.
We're on the game. Yeah. With the sleeve here.
I didn't even get it. I was the only one who didn't really get a nap before this. I had to do my other show on Blog Talk Radio.
Did I get a nap? I didn't get a nap.
You were laying in your bed.
I was not napping. I was preparing for the show.
You were watching SNY.
I was not napping.
You were napping.
I was
working, bro. You were sitting in your bed.
That is not. Sitting in bed does not constitute as a nap.
I was talking for 45 minutes.
Since when did. Oh.
I was talking.
Your vocal cords must be
dying,
bro.
I know, man. You're lucky that I
was able to get on here. You have more the voice, though, bro. You got the voice.
The voice and the
look. I got
the
voice, too. No. I got the voice and the look. You got both as well. I don't know.
But anyways, no, KD.
We're off on tangents here.
We do.
KD's coming, not leaving.
He's coming to the Knicks next year.
Stop
we
it.
Know
he's
that.
Not coming
he's
to the
coming
Knicks.
To the
I
Knicks
agree
next
with Karn
year.
About that, and he thought I was crazy for thinking that he wouldn't, because he said the Knicks, with 2 minutes left here in the program, he thinks that the Knicks would be the second-best team in the East if they did get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Can they afford him with – if you bring back Rose?
No.
If you have Noah, you have to get rid of Rose, obviously.
Yeah.
But
and that's
point
fine.
Guard he's, is the name of the game.
Yeah. Well, you bring in him and Russ, and you'll be good.
Him and who?
Russ.
Oh, they can afford that. What are you,
it's
shopping
the
in the dollar menu for
– the Knicks.
For Louis Gucci and Prada?
What's his name?
Come
loves
on,
to throw man. Money around.
Oh, my goodness.
He loves to throw money around. I think he's going to go back with OKC.
I agree. Hassan Whiteside sticking with Miami. I think it's a good move. And
yeah,
he announced it on Snapchat
gotta,
/ Players Tribune, which is 2016.
Gotta give some money to that man, D Wade, for all the services
he's
put in for the Heat, man. Come on. Like, Pat Riley, what are you doing?
Don't let him go to Milwaukee.
No,
I can't imagine.
I would
him
love
in
that fit in Milwaukee, but, oh, man. I feel bad for Chris Bosh, you know, to be honest with you. But it's been a fun program, Jake. I've enjoyed, you know, being in here talking on WGBB 1240 AM on the island. That's very, very long. It's been a pleasure. And thanks to Nelson Figueroa, obviously, coming on and giving us a few minutes here. Great to be on the program with you.
And thanks, Greg, for coming in. And me and Greg will drive back to our home in Astoria.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for everyone for tuning in. Make sure you check Greg out weekdays 10 to 2, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sports Radio Roundup, CBS Sports Radio Roundup. You can listen on the TuneIn app, correct?
Yes.
And you
radio.com.
Radio.com app, sorry.
Just deuces to my parents who are watching right now.
Deuces to everyone watching. You can catch Brown and Scoop daily on Play.it, iTunes, and Spotify. Hopefully we'll be back with in the next month or two. We'll see. But it was great to be back for the first time this year. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Sports Talk 1240. If you didn't miss it, you'll catch the podcast tomorrow on iTunes at sportstalk1240.com. Have a great 4th of July. Have a great night. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.